younger children with Miss Barbie tonight, and the rest of you older children may have a seat, please.
Okay. Well, we're back on Wednesday night. Oh my goodness. Yeah, last week I heard how many people were already sick, and I told Angela, said, I didn't dawn on me until about the end of the day. I'd have to sit down for a couple hours, and I'd get up all full of energy, and I'd go do something, and it was just like, what is going on? And then it hit me. Okay, so that night I slept over 12 hours. So, yeah, that helped kick it. So I feel a whole lot better. I don't know about the rest of you, but hallelujah. So tonight we are going back to pick up on the message we were on. And it's called People Get Ready. If you want the hilarious part, I did this on the 29th. Of January, and we are already into the middle of February. This just doesn't seem possible. And what we're looking at is the body of Christ itself needs to prepare for the return of Christ. Jesus' disciple asked him in Matthew chapter 24, what will be the sign of your coming? And at the end of the age. And Jesus began telling them things. And so that's kind of where we were at. We were in Matthew chapter 24. And but now we're down to, I believe, at verse 9 is where we were. I think I stopped where Jesus starts telling them all this stuff. And then he says, and that's just the beginning. So we're going to pick up in verse 9. But let's open with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Lord, we thank you that we can come together healthy and whole, Father, safe and warm. Lord, I thank you right now for the word we're about to receive. Speak through me, Holy Spirit. Use me, use my mouth in Jesus' name. Amen. So after Jesus tells them that that's just the beginning of sorrows, we're talking pestilence, we're talking earthquakes, we're talking unique. And I got to thinking about something else today. It's like, you know, there's something we're going to go into next week. But how many movies do we have about the end of the earth, about volcanoes, about earthquakes, about typhoons, about all this stuff, about monsters coming out of the sea, for you Godzilla fans? We have got all the stuff the Apostle John saw in movie form. But anyhow, by the way, don't take any spiritual connotations with that. It was just something I thought of, okay? So verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will arise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. So first off, because we bear the name of Christ, people are going to hate you. Period. Does not matter what you do, what you say, you can have every food line in the world. You can clothe them. You can house them. You can pay their bills. And they will hate you because of the name of Christ. And by the way, this is not, when it says in nations, it's the other people. This is all the world. We like to try to think everybody likes us, but they don't. Today, especially in this country, we are seeing the rights of Americans being taken away just because they are Christians. No longer do we, or they think we don't, have the right to free speech. Everybody else is entitled to the right, but Christians. They want a total separation of church and state, but yet they want the church to fund their legalized murders or abortions. They want to speak their mind, which is their beliefs. I don't have a religion, they say. Yes, you do. Religion is none other than your belief system. That's it. An atheist has a religion. A humanist has a religion. Everybody has a religion. It's their core belief system. And so they can say what they want. They have a religion. So there will never be a true separation of church and state. Because as long as people back their beliefs in legislature, your religion is still speaking. Let's just hope you get your moral compass from the Bible. So they want to speak their mind, which is their belief, but yet a Christian cannot share theirs. Most of you remember the Phil Robertson fiasco just a couple weeks back. He made a statement in a GQ interview in which I read the actual interview, and the interviewer was a foul-mouthed bozo. And yet Phil Robertson is the one who got in trouble. Well, praise God, his family sticks together like they said they do. No dad, no us. So take it or leave it. Currently in many countries, people are being killed because they are Christians. You go to Africa, you go to Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, Afghanistan. Churches are being blown up. People are being killed just because of Christ. And they are not discriminating against male, female, or children. They're being thrown into prison on trumped up charges for all for the name, for the sake of Christ. I throw this out there to any, and I don't know why they seem to think it might not ever happen to them. Any preacher who's a Christian who goes into a foreign country right now, beware, especially if you're going to Pakistan, you're going to China, you're going to these countries that have already thrown their own people in prison. They will throw you in. I know some people that are going, and it's like, I hope you have taken in consideration. First off, if this is not God's will for you, do not go. Several years ago, Pastor Dosak actually invited me to go to the Congo with him. Man, I was so excited about that. I was like, I'm going to go to Africa, man. I ain't never been to Africa. And I thought, well, you know, God, maybe you want that. But at that time, we were actually just started this project and had too many irons in the fire to be able to do that. But that's not the main reason why I said no. I said no because I said, God, is this a region you want me to go in? And he said, no. You are not to go there. See, Pastor Dosak has gone and come several times. If you don't know anything about the Congo, it's not a safe place for Christians. It's not a safe place for anybody if you're white, or be honest with you, or anybody, because it's ruled by drug lords. They don't like you, they'll kill you. That's all there is to it. Now, the offended. Many will be offended. I cannot speak for the whole church, but the body of Christ in the U.S. has more people who identify as being offended than not. There are more people running around today who will identify that they have been or currently are offended. And if they keep bringing it up, they still are offended. Many, and I use this term loosely, believers, want to be offended. They feel it frees them from the commands of Christ to love one another. See, if I'm offended at you, I don't have to love you. You hurt me. Spouses, have you ever hurt your spouse? Yeah. Whether you meant to or not. Many float in and out from local fellowships like butterflies. Only butterflies are actually doing something. See, today, we can see it. It happens. I don't get too concerned. I've had people come in, oh, we just float around. I thought, okay, you're a spiritual butterfly. That's all you are. You come and you go. You have no place. You think you're doing something. but they are not grounded or rooted any place that which they can do things and do what they're supposed to. Spiritual butterflies just show up but are never around or can be counted on to participate in things that actually call them to serve. Now, if somebody were to create a community thing, oh, they're there. They want everybody to know they're there. But if they're part of a church, no, they disappear. Because they're offended. And they don't want to get close to anybody anymore. It is actually very easy to find volunteers for social events, things that the butterfly actually feels makes them a better person. That's why they do it. But ask someone to help in a task that does not bring them glory. People are finding every excuse today not to serve others because they're offended. Oh, I got this going on. I got this. My life is so busy. If our lives are so busy that we cannot serve, it's time we cut back on our life. So many people would be much better off today if they just do that anyhow. Oh, the world's spinning it. The world didn't spin it any faster. We did it to ourselves. Here's some excuses. I don't feel led. Was that Buddy Bell? I think it was. It was hilarious. He used to carry around a 9mm cartridge. I've got one on me if you'd like to see it. A 9mm cartridge. And they'd say, I don't feel led. He'd toss it to him and said, there, you've now felt led. I don't feel led. That's not my calling. How many times do you have to do something that's not your calling? Let me start off by saying the last 13 years has taught me about every other day I got to do something that's not my calling. I praise God for those of you who are filling in those areas that we once filled. Because there's only a little bit of grace that goes on those people. When the people to take it over are there, the grace is lifted. I don't see so-and-so doing this. Why are you asking me? I'm too busy. I've had people tell me that they were too busy, and all I've ever seen them do is just drive around town. Like, seriously, you're too busy to do that. Everybody is busy. Everybody's got something to do. In nearly 13 years of ministry, I've heard enough excuses as to why people can't do things. But I'm constantly amazed at the things they are uncomfortable with in their personal lives, and they still do because they might get a pat on the back or an attaboy. When it all boils down, they have been offended. They have shut themselves off from the body. They don't want to be a close participant anymore. That's not a body. How stupid would I look if my left arm had offended my body, or my body had offended my left arm? My left arm said, you know what? I'm going to stay over here. And I had to walk around like this because my left arm rebelled and stayed away from me. But yet I have a scratch on my left side. Yeah, oh, I can't get to it. But yet I could get to it with the left hand. But it won't do it because it's offended. And that's what butterflies. That's what Jesus is talking about. If you haven't figured out, Jesus is giving us right now a description of the church when he returns. When they leave, they say they are not offended. But it only takes a short time and they begin to vent their offense. Like I said, 13 years has taught me. Yeah. They just turn it around and blame the messenger. It could be me, it could be you, it could be a preacher we have come in. Trust me, there's always an opportunity to be offended. Jesus put it this way, it's impossible for you not to be offended. It's impossible. We're going to offend each other. But if we truly love each other, we will forgive each other. And here's one of my biggest things that I've seen. I've had people come and, Pastor, I'm just not getting fed anymore. I'm not getting anything. Well, one, you don't do anything in the church whatsoever. So stop barking up that tree. Tell me you're not getting fed. You've got to put stuff out in order to be able to take new stuff in. Okay? But the truth of the matter is, they don't like to be corrected. None of us do we? We hate being corrected. You know, I hated taking tests because they were going to grade it. I didn't want somebody to tell me I was wrong. In my mind, I was right. My wife had to explain something to my boys the other day. She said, your father and I were first married, I thought there's nothing this man doesn't know. Later she learned, I can sling a lot of stuff. I can make you think I know something about it. Now, I do know a lot about a lot. I know a little about a lot. Let me rephrase it that way. I know enough to be dangerous, okay? Humility is all but gone from the body of Christ. All of this because lawlessness is being tolerated. Not lawless from the standpoint of Old Testament law, but rather, most important law, love. You see, love requires and expects us to forgive. Did you hear me? It requires us to forgive. But that's what people don't want to do. They don't want to forgive. They just want to be offended and say, you know what? I'm a Christian. I'm going to serve God out here on my terms. Never mind that he said that I should come together with other believers. Now, if I were in the Navy, I'll call him Doc because that's what we'd have called him in the Marine Corps. If Bart Sliger were here, he would testify to this fact. He was a corpsman. He was surrounded day in and day out by Marines. Corpsmen are accepted by Marines as brothers for one reason. They're around us so much. And not only do they save our lives and protect that way, but they're around Marines so much, they begin to act like Marines. Our corpsmen in the Philippines, when I first showed up there at the unit in the Philippines, I was impressed. I got out of the Hummer and I walk over there and, man, here's this guy. His cover is sharp. His uniform is sharp. Creases that could cut air. I mean, man, he looked good. I got a little closer. He doesn't have an Eagle Globe and Anchor One on him because he's our corpsman. He had a high and tight. He looked like a Marine. He acted like a Marine. See, if you're a Christian and you hang around Christians, you start acting like a Christian. But if you don't, a lot of people can believe in God, and that's where a lot of people are at right now. They're on the outside. I believe in God. We're a nation that believes in God, but we're an offended nation. The churches should be overflowing in this country because there's so many people offended and they're sitting on the outskirts. I believe in God. They call the preacher when they need two things, married and buried. Now, at some point in our lives, we have all offended someone, perhaps many people. A dangerous place we have come to is we don't care who we offend. I want to reiterate, we're not talking about offense for Christ's sake. Telling people that you've got to accept Christ. That alone will cause them to be offended, okay? Jesus said he is the rock of offense. He will cause offense in people. They will trip. But they're not going to trip in their walk with him. They're going to trip in their walk with the devil. Many people today are offended because of what Christians have done, how Christians have acted. I remember an incident, and if I remember right, Cheryl and Phil were there as well. We were invited to a cookout. And she's like, we were invited. I thought, all right, we're going to a cookout. These people, you know, people are having people in the church come over. We get to the cookout and find out they want to introduce us to their prophet friend. Who's going to spend the next 3 hours this afternoon prophesying over us? Listen, dude, go back to your job at, was he unemployment? I think he was a Bureau of Unemployment. Go back to your job, please. Now, I'll be honest with you, we could have all easily gotten offended, but I do not believe one of us got offended at that point. But what could have happened? See, to get us to come hear their prophet friend, they lured us in with dinner, which we helped, we brought stuff to. Yeah, it's a church dinner. Now, but rather we offend because we don't care. That's just it. We just don't care. I speak my mind. Well, sometimes you should keep your mouth shut. And there's other times, I don't know about you, that I've thought something and it came out my mouth before I was able to catch it. Now, we are to speak the truth, but we're to do it in love. To love someone and then to do say or do something that devastates them and running to the fallback of it was done in love. It's just like going to your boss and saying, with all due respect, and then you proceed to blast them. You're still disrespectful. You are any respect. I've had, when I was in the military, I had some people try that. With all due respect, Corporal, and I'd stop them. That doesn't fly in the military. That's something made up in the corporate world. The military, you'd better watch it. Your next words could mean whether you've got a free weekend or if you're going to be raking sand in lines. I made a discovery the other night. I was watching Pawn Stars, actually. Anybody else like that show? Chumlee on there. It was the new one. And he's like, oh, yeah, we can do this and this and this and a break area. And he says, and a little Zen garden. And at that time, bald one, Rick. Man, I can see his face. Rick says, whoa. What is a Zen garden? He says it's a little garden where you take a little rake and he says it's got sand and you just rake lines in it. I told Angela, I said, the Marine Corps was before their time. I had no idea we were doing practicing Zen. They were calming us down as we raked all that sand into perfect straight lines. You are not rendering any respect when you do that, but rather you feel as though you are their equal. And if you've never been a boss, I pray you get the opportunity sometime to deal with somebody just like you. Being a boss changed how I started treating those above me. It's like, whoa, I don't want to be this annoying little twit. I want to be somebody productive, somebody my boss knows they can come to and rely on to do the job. When Jesus spoke this, he was referencing the condition of the church. Again, not the world. So we're still talking about the church. We come in and people, I'm sick and tired of people telling me after service, well, God told me this. Listen, I'm going to err on what his word said, not what your imaginary voices in your head told you. I know God speaks to people, but he doesn't contradict what's in that Bible. And I don't know how many times people do. I'll get done preaching a message and they'll stand back. You probably heard them. I disagree with you. I don't know how many times I've come to just wanting to grab them by the seat of the pants and escort them out. I just gave you the word, not my opinion. I will tell you when it's my opinion. Now, there are gray areas that people look at, maybe interpretations of things, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking cut and dry, black and white things, okay? What we need to do is keep in mind about offending others, as Jesus said, offenses will come, but woe to those whom by they come. But those who hang on, no, not just hang on, but endure. Hanging on means you can't do anything, right? If I were hanging from the ceiling from a bar, that's all I can do. I'm just holding on, trying to preserve my own life. But the word endure carries something different. This doesn't mean that they crawled up into the fetal position and started sucking their thumbs until the end. That's hanging on. To endure means to continue in what you are called to do. That no matter what has come your way, you keep marching. You still pick your foot up and put it in front of the other, no matter what has come against you that day. To endure means, again, to continue in what you're called to do. If a runner is to have endurance for a marathon, he must be able to complete the entire race running. Otherwise, he doesn't have endurance. If he has to stop, catch his breath, or let his strength come back, he does not have the endurance to run the race. To have endurance is to be able to complete the entire race regardless of the obstacles. Every last one of us in here has been around on this planet long enough to know there are obstacles, not only in your spiritual walk, but in your physical walk as a human being. People are people. The one thing you can bank on people to do is mess up. On this issue, part of the reason many do not have endurance is because they have failed to train. Training is every day, not always running a marathon distance, though. There's different types of training to do that kind of stuff. But it is training. And you need to train every part of your body, not just legs and lungs. Your entire body needs to have the strength to make it on. Everybody thinks, oh, running is real, it's real easy. It is, or simple. I should say, that's how it is. Running is real simple, but it's not easy. Yeah, I make my legs go fast in front of each other. I got to get a little bit of lung capacity built up. But what they're not taking in consideration is your entire body is in that race. But most importantly in all of this is your mind. During an especially difficult run, your legs begin to weaken, your lungs begin to burn. Those of you that were runners know what I'm talking about. The first week or so, you get the cramp in the side. Once you're able to run a mile or two, the cramps stop. Your lungs begin to burn. Your legs begin to get weak. You can't feel your legs. I don't know if you've ever run that long. I have, and I'm going to tell you, it's amazing. You're just going. You don't know why. You don't know how. Your legs just keep going. Then the other parts of your body that you don't realize were working during the race begin to fatigue and begin to ache. For a believer, they may be strong in one area, but in the race, they forgot to train their entire body. Your mind has already been thinking about quitting, doesn't it? By the time your lungs begin to burn, you're like, oh, okay, I'm done. And so you slow down and you start walking. But if you are a serious trainer, you've already got it in your mind that your legs are going to get weak, that your chest, your lungs are going to burn. And that they're going to have to do that. They're going to have to get fatigued. They're going to have to burn in order to push them to the next level. But when other parts begin to fatigue, it is now faced with a new front to deal with. It says, I wasn't relying on base, wasn't ready for your arms to get weak. I wasn't ready for your shoulders to start cramping. And so your mind begins to shut down. Now we have to use our spirit to train our mind not to quit. And everything you will hear, they've got a winning spirit. They've got a fighting spirit. They just keep going and going. They keep telling their mind they can't quit. They won't quit. They won't let go. Most of the body of the Christ wants to get, or most in the body of Christ want to get saved and go on the mission fields. You get somebody saved, what are they? I want to go preach. I want to go overseas. I want to do this. I want to feed the hungry. I want to clothe the naked. We just don't want to take the time to train. The Apostle Paul said not to promote anybody quickly. So I'm still finding it hard to believe that we're taking somebody who's been saved for 2 years. They've come out of 40 years of a decadent lifestyle to now preaching the gospel in 2 years, and they know it all. Only to find out that in year number 5, they have been carrying on adulterous affairs. Because we promoted them too soon, they were not properly trained. Somebody saw a gift and they said, "Rise up and I will anoint you." Keep in mind, Jesus trained for 30 years for 3 years of ministry. We want to go on the mission field because, well, you know, we had a missionary in on Sunday. He came to church and he told us how great it was to go overseas and help people. It is great, isn't it, guys? It's great to go over there and help them. But I'll be honest with you, I would not have let you two go. I wouldn't have let you, okay? I'm not controlling you, but I would not have recommended you go had I felt that you were too spiritually immature to handle it. Because if I remember correctly, there was a scandalous activity happening while you guys were there with somebody with your group. It was somebody who was too young. He should have never been allowed to go. But because he came up with the money, he was allowed to go and do the very thing they were there to pull people out of. They told us about building orphanages and gardens, but not how about lonely they get. About being surrounded by people with different languages and different customs, some of whom do not like you. Or about all the time spent with diarrhea because they can't get used to the food and the water. Or snakes and crocodiles and spiders, oh my. They don't tell how they've had to train their mind to be strong. How a little or even a great discomfort can wreak havoc on your body. Or the times when a child you've been praying for and nursing dies in your arms. They've had to train their minds to be strong, to not give in just because of difficulty. The Apostle Paul told us to renew our minds. To renew is to give new strength. To give it new strength, it has to wear down first. Most people are stronger than they could ever imagine. We don't like hard times. None of us do. Is there anybody that really likes them? If so, then we will pray for you. Or maybe you will be a part of Trisha's little Facebook experiment. This will be your little weird. This is Weirdo Wednesday today. But when the times come and afterwards we look back at it and realize that we made it through. I remember thinking back after boot camp, even though my body, at that point, my knees had given out. They were swollen. I couldn't move, but I wasn't saying a thing because I was graduating. That's all I wanted to do. I sucked up the pain and went on. But when I stopped and I looked back, and I will stand to this day, I would do it all over again. 13 weeks of a psychological hell. Not only somebody telling me that I was worth less than a pile of dung that the dog left in the parking lot, but myself questioning if I had it in me. It would be easier to break my leg again, I told myself. But well, I might not. That'd been my third time. Yeah, they do. They just recycle and make you stay there another 6 months until you're healed and ready to go. And that's the last thing I wanted was 6 months on Paris Island, on top of the 13 weeks. But you see, when I got through the other side, my mind was like, it was a joke. I made it through. When Jesse was born, we were talking to him the other day about it. And I can't talk about it sometimes without getting a little emotional. Because up to that point, little tests. You know, Joshua, well, there was a little issue there and a little bed rest. And things took care, you know, God took care of it. I won't say things took care of themselves. God took care of it. But with Jesse and Angela at this time, at first it was just Jesse. And I knew that, you know, there was some difficulties right off the bat with Angela. They nicked, there was more blood than there should have been. So she was bleeding out in the surgery room and my baby's being taken to ICU. So I didn't know if I could make it. But now that I look at the other side, I look back and it's like, well, this is, I made it. It was easier than I thought. By the way, I was still working, started a business, and going to the hospital to take care of them. Thank God for my in-laws. Because they took care of Joshua. Yeah, we do that regularly at home. They all know which one we're talking about. Admitting that it wasn't easy, but we see we made it through, and our mind tells us it really wasn't that difficult. Why? Because we have now trained our mind to go, that it can go a little further than it believes. For us to endure to the end, we need to quit complaining about whatever it is that is taxing us. Oh, we all moan and groan. Do it in your private. Those of you on Facebook, I don't think anybody in here does it. Don't do it on Facebook. I'm going to start unfriending people that do that all the time. It's like, come on. You thank God for the job 1 minute and you turn around and complain about it the next. You're a double-minded man. You speak out both sides of your face. Thank Him for it and He'll get you through it. Thank Him for it and maybe He'll stretch your mind enough to where you can overcome any difficulties. And focused on accomplishing the little tasks of the battle that will win the war. Are you getting hold of that part right there? Focus on the job in front of you right now. Not on the goal. Everybody wants to focus on V-Day Day. Everybody wants to focus on V-Day. Nobody wants to focus on storming the beach first. Nobody wants to focus on the battle at hand, the obstacle at hand. Focus here. Don't worry about the machine guns up ahead. Don't worry about that obstacle that might be lying ahead of you. Oh, I got April 15th. It's only February, okay? Quit stressing. And if taxes stress you out doing them, please pay somebody else to do them. It's not that hard, not that difficult. Even myself last year, I took mine in. Only to find out they knew even less about preacher's taxes than I did. But I'm going to give them another chance. Because if we get audited, they're the ones going to the meeting, not me. The gospel will be preached to all the world, Jesus said, as a sign. This is one of the signs. Guess what, folks? Currently, there are no known languages that the gospel has not been preached in. Now, let me ask you this. Did I not paint a pretty decent picture of the status of the body of Christ today? Offended, betraying one another, hating one another. point of this for us is to be vigilant. That's why Jesus told us to be vigilant. Because we never know, we do not know when he's coming. So we do not need to be running around defending. Somebody offends you, if you need to go take a walk and blow it off, blow it off. I'm not some super spiritual guru who has all the answers to all the life's most complexing problems. For crying out loud, some of my biggest problems are trying to figure out how I'm going to drive a nail in that 100-year-old wood without bending it. That's a hard problem for me sometimes. So I can't figure out all life's other problems. But what I will tell you is, sometimes you do need to go for a walk and vent. But you know what we've been told? We've been told we need to hold that in. Anybody know what a volcano is? I used to be one. Periodically still act like it. Not as much as I used to, though. I used to let things build and build and build. And then we'd, you know, Angela and I might get into a little tiff over something stupid. And kapow, there goes the top of the volcano. Not only are we blowing up about the little problem that originally was, which was something stupid, but now I was harboring all of that stuff underneath. And I let it come out at one time. Mount St. Helens was so devastating because of all the pressure. For miles, trees were leveled. We, on the other side of the continent, got fallout ash. I remember that. I didn't catch any of it, but I remember it. So if somebody has offended you, and I'm going to point out, Jesus talked about this a lot. If somebody has truly hurt you, make sure that they truly, that it was truly a hurt and not something they didn't mean to. I've had people say stupid things to me all the time, and you know what? It's like most of the time I don't realize that they just slammed me until I walked away. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's God right there. Because I've used to pride myself on being a king of zingers. I liked zinging people, and I would go below the belt in a heartbeat. Not proud of that fact, just telling you what I used to do. And people have offended. People have said things, done things. And I've just had to learn to forgive and go on. Because if we don't, I don't want to be the church that Jesus comes back and finds sleeping. Because, well, we don't want to forgive people. We don't want to forgive our brother or our sister. You know what? It's going to take a lot for my physical brothers and sisters to do to me, for me not to be there for them. I mean, a lot. I don't think they could ever get to that point. So that's the condition of the church that Jesus was talking about. I believe that is a pretty good picture of the church today, just from the standpoint of the offenses. I've been sitting here thinking the other, or just the other day, about some preachers that I've known in the past in my own personal life. And at this juncture, once I pass over 13 years, if I remember correctly, I will have been preaching longer than any of them once I go over 13. And it's not anything braggadocious. It's a sobering thought to me because they left in their wake a lot of hurt people. I know people that are still, they still believe in God, but they're the left hand that's out here. They will not come in. Matter of fact, they would just as soon separate themselves and say, you know what, we'll be the thing from Adam's family. Just walk around on our own. Next week, we're going to start looking at, Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, there was selling and trading and buying and giving in marriage. But I can share some more things about as the days of Noah, about the condition of the world. Tell you about how the world will be. And then we will try, I'm going to put it this way, try to be getting into some more of the prophetic of Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation. We're going to look at things, but I'm going to try, we're going to try to look at them through a little clearer magnifying glass this time. We're not going to look at them through tainted, oh, well, there's going to be all this coming up and this coming up. We're seeing things happening. We have an understanding of things that 100 years ago they didn't. Like I said, if you keep in mind, like I said, I realized it was a Match.com or something like that commercial the other day when the guy said, the last time I dated, there was no such thing as the internet. Our children do not know a world without the internet. Baffling. My sons were so thrilled with that rotary phone on the wall when we bought this house. I mean, they were going to keep it. They were going to use it for this. And I think I finally did get it thrown away. But that was an antique. I know it was an antique. It was a worthless antique. It was Black Beauty, and that was all there was to it. Yeah. Exactly. Hey, I got an antique phone. There's things that they don't understand. 100 years ago, there's things they didn't understand. But there's things we understand now because we've actually seen them. 100 years ago, folks, Israel was not a nation. That was not in their factoring. It hadn't happened. We've seen it happen. There's going to be things happening. We're seeing things happening right now that God has already told us. We just need to be a little more observant. So, all right. Let's stand. Okay. Teens will be wrapping up here probably right about now. So, is there anybody that needs prayer for healing before we go on? Periodically, I'll go ahead. Come on up here. Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah. Am I praying for him or are you coming up too?
No, I'm praying for him.
Okay. Okay. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, your word says that by the stripes of Jesus we were healed. Father, you also said that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So, Lord, right now, we pray for the strength and faith of our brother and sister. Lord, I ask that, Father, you strengthen his faith. The Father, as the doctors are telling him he needs to go in and have some surgery. Lord, we believe right now that you are healing him. Father, that when he shows up, this surgery is going to be like pulling a tooth. It's going to be simple, easy, and anything they find is going to be tiny, without roots, and they'll be able to remove it all. We pray, Father, that you have your hands upon him, upon the surgeon, upon every staff member of that operating room. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.